Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The Bible is a book for the Christian that is full of comforting words. But it's also a book that can bring us down and can humble us. A book that can also show us how to be saved and how to live a life that's saved, the Christian life. And the Apostle Paul wrote letters to churches and individuals giving advice on how to live the Christian life. What to avoid, what pitfalls, what traps to avoid. How to walk. And we turn to Ephesians 5 for such an example of advice on how to live the Christian life, on how to walk. He uses the word walk in chapter 5, verse 2. So it's quite early in the chapter. Walk in love, as Christ also has loved us. And Christ is the example of how we are to walk in love. We are to be followers of God, as children, as dear children. We mimic, don't we, as children, our parents, our father, our mother. And this is put forward as an example of how we are to be followers of God, as children. Of course, our mums and dads had bad habits that perhaps we shouldn't have copied. But of course, our Heavenly Father has none of these. And we can, without any worry or impunity, follow God and follow His Son and copy Him. There's also warnings here in chapter 5 of Ephesians. Things to avoid in verse 3. Fornication, uncleanness, covetousness, filthiness, foolish talking, jesting. But rather, we should live a life of giving thanks, being thankful. And we are to live a life, we are to walk, not being deceived. We are to be careful what we hear and how we hear. So we are to be separate, verse 7. We are not to be partakers with people that do the things above. For the wrath of God is upon these children that don't follow our Father. But I want to quickly come to the two verses that I want to talk about mainly this morning, and that's verse 15 and verse 16. Mainly concentrating on verse 16, but they are connected. See ye then that ye walk, or live your life, live your Christian life, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. So we are to walk circumspectly because the days are evil, and we are to redeem the time because the days are evil. There's two interesting words. Circumspectly, it means to be looking all around as we walk. Just to give you an idea, it's not just walking. We wouldn't walk with our eyes shut. We would walk with our eyes open. Otherwise, we're prone to walk into things or to trip over things. A thief walks, moves, when he's on the job or she's on the job, circumspectly, looking all around, looking for cameras, looking for trip wires, looking for places where they might trigger an alarm. They're looking all around. They're being very careful what they touch and where they go and what they do. And another example of walking circumspectly, the SEAL teams, they're the elite military of the Navy. A member of a SEAL team on a job, on an assignment, as they approach the target, whatever it is they're going to do, perhaps rescue someone, they would be walking circumspectly, looking all around them so that they're not spotted before they need to jump into action. And this is how the Christian is to walk or to live, looking all around. And if we don't, Paul describes us as being fools. But if we do walk circumspectly, we're described as being wise. Walking circumspectly is a way in which we should live our lives, not to be tossed one way or the other by a new idea that comes to us from other so-called Christians, but we are to stick to the Bible for all our teaching and for all our advice. We're not to be blown about by every wind of doctrine, the Bible says. We are to compare Scripture with Scripture and to be careful what we say, what we do, how we speak to people, walking circumspectly, because the days are evil. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Now, Paul could easily have wrote, see that you walk carefully, see that you live your lives carefully, but he uses this word, or in our translation we have this word, circumspectly. It's more than just taking care. It's looking behind us, in front of us, to the side. It's a word that takes our attention. Same with this word, redeeming. He could easily have written, don't waste your time, or use your time wisely as Christians. But now we have this word, redeeming. And both words should take our attention. They draw our attention to them. It's more than do not waste time. It's more than do not or make the most of time or seize the day. They're no ordinary words, and they should make us think. The word redeem or redeeming is a word associated with trading, with buying and selling, with purchasing. And often the word redeem means to buy back. If you're given as a present, a gift, a voucher, it might allow you to have an afternoon tea somewhere. It's a gift, and you have this voucher, and it acts a little bit like a note, and you go to the shop that offers these, as example, a cream tea, and you hand over the voucher. You redeem it, and in its place you receive something else. Money doesn't have to exchange hands when we redeem things. It could just be the exchange of goods. I'll give you a couple of sheep if you give me a cow. That sort of thing. But it's buying and selling. It doesn't have to be with money. Buying and selling also usually involves some sort of effort. If the voucher remains in your wallet, or if the money remains in your wallet, and you don't go out and spend the money or the voucher, and it's no good to you. Now, the word redeem, it was in our last hymn, I think, one of our hymns, it's a word associated with the Lord Jesus Christ. He is called the Redeemer, and the work of Christ is often called a work of redemption, a salvation word. And Galatians 3 verse 13, I'll quickly turn to Galatians 3 and verse 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Christ hath bought us, redeemed us. What did he use? Well, he used his own blood was the exchange. His blood for our life. And then there's Galatians 4 and verse 5. Verse 4 first. But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And it's a theme that runs through the Bible, that Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, did a work of redemption, of buying, of giving his life's blood as a ransom. There's another example where money is exchanged. If you are captured and held captive, it might be that a message comes to those that love you and want to see you released and back with them, that there will be a demand, a ransom demand, and they'll demand money, or they might demand something else. But Christ also ransoms us from the curse of sin and of the law. Believers are bought back or purchased from the curse of the law. We're ransomed. Matthew 20, verse 28. I'll quickly turn to Matthew 20. And verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. In other words, his life for ours. And in 1 Timothy 2 and verse 6. The man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. So this is a very interesting word that the apostle uses, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Redeeming the time. Time runs away from us, doesn't it? But while we have it, then we have opportunities. Time is something that's very difficult to define, to describe. I have never seen a good definition of time. The distance between two events, well, distance is a measure of its length. It's not, you can't use the word distance, can you? Time is always happening. And while it is, we can use it. We can redeem it. And we're told in verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, of Ephesians 5. Verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Perhaps better rendered, but understanding what the will of the Lord always is. Present time, now, always. Not tomorrow, but now. It's a time. There's a time involved here. Redeeming our personal, individual time. Or is it redeeming the time of our generation? Or the time of our saved existence? Job mentions, we read it in Job 14, verses 13 and 14, I shan't turn to it, the set time, and he was very conscious of time in that chapter. I don't know if you noticed as we read it. He was anxious that his time would come to an end because he was in such pain and such difficulty with those sores, and he was struggling with time. So how do we redeem the time? Well, we claim the time. We buy the time. Time is available to all of us. But Satan wants to keep time away from us, so that we waste it. So we spend a lot of our lives wasting time doing unprofitable things, even as Christians. When was the last time you complained about something? Was it the weather? We do things which give us no spiritual gain or profit. We're often self-indulgent, aren't we? And selfish. We're full of self-pity. Not all the time, but sometimes. When was the last time you indulged in a bit of gossip? It's just not redeeming the time. What about daydreaming? Often see on the media that people have they've fulfilled their dream, or they have a dream, and I often say to the television they want to wake up and get real. But we covet things, don't we? We desire things. A better car, better house, better clothing. And we can involve ourselves as Christians being involved with too much ease and leisure and in worldly entertainment. And this is exactly what Satan wants us to do. He doesn't want us to redeem time. He wants us to let it slip away. And we have to buy this time. There's a cost. It's taken away from us, so we have to buy it back. Let me give an example of buying back not time, but of energy. In Snowdonia, there is a pumped storage power station, and it works because of the terrain in Snowdonia in Wales, and there's a reservoir that's high up and there's a reservoir that's a lot lower, and in between the two reservoirs, they're full of water, is the power station. It's called a pumped storage power station, and when there are high demands for electricity, the gates are open to the turbines. The water falls down from the top reservoir through the turbine, spins the wheels of the turbine, or the blades of the turbine, which drives generators to produce electricity. And it's sent into the national grid when there are high demands for electricity. And so they get a lot of money, because it's expensive at that time when there's a high demand. You probably are aware that there are times when you can buy electricity when it's cheaper, especially at night. But eventually all the water from the top reservoir has gone into the bottom reservoir. So the pump, the storage, the power station doesn't work anymore. And so what they do, they have to pump. They use pumps, they've got another pipe, and they pump the water using electricity from the bottom reservoir up to the top reservoir. And you think, well, that's not going to give them any money, is it? They're not going to get anything out of that. But they do it when the electricity is cheap at night. And so they do make a profit. But they have to reclaim, they have to redeem the water that's on the bottom reservoir back into the top. So they're redeeming energy, if you like, potential energy. Another example of buying time. I hope you don't think this is trivial, but again, think of a SEAL team as a team of four men, and they're on an operation, and one of the four gets injured, and they're in a place of high danger, and they could be shot because they're in another hostile environment, a hostile country. But one of them's got injured in the leg and can't walk. Now, one thing that the SEAL team tried to do, even if one of their team dies, is to get the body back. But here's someone who is injured, and they're going to abort the mission. Two of them are going to be on either side of this injured soldier and get him to safety, to the helicopter. But while he's doing that, the fourth soldier says, "I'll stay behind. I'll buy you some time at my own risk and at my own endangerment. And if anyone comes, I've got my rifle ready and I'll protect you." The Americans say, "I've got your back," don't they? So this one chap is buying time for the other three so that they can escape. Otherwise they wouldn't have time to get away. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did. He sacrificed himself for us. He redeemed us. And it took effort. It was a price, his own life. So we buy time, and it requires effort, watchfulness, planning. Psalm 90, teach us to number our days, it says, so we treat the present day as our last, because time is precious. We cannot boast ourselves of tomorrow. Have you ever watched an egg timer? I'm sure the boys and girls have. An egg timer. You can still buy them. You turn them upside down. The sand runs from the top piece of glass through a small opening into the bottom. And you can see, if you like, time moving in a way. And it reminds us that time stops for no one. And buying time, redeeming time, is like a trader. There's effort involved in redeeming time. You have to put your... first of all, you've got to rent your accommodation, your business, your unless you own it, of course, the building. But you have to put into effort into ordering goods or making them if you're going to sell your own stuff. And you have to put them out on display. That takes time and effort. You've got to put the price on them. That takes time and effort. And so you're either going to buy them or you're going to make the goods. And then you've got to be there to sell the goods. It all takes time and it all takes effort. The Lord Jesus Christ in Psalm 19 and verse 44, when he sees and comes to Jerusalem for the last time, he's sad and he says, "Thou knewest not the time of thy visitation." The times in which God had come to the children of Israel and they'd just gone after other gods. And they had wasted many days of opportunity. They didn't redeem the time. Fantastic opportunities the children of Israel had, because to them came the word of God. And so often they were led astray by a bad king or by their own sinfulness, and they wasted many opportunities. Now, when I was at work as a teacher, there were one or two teachers that I really admired, and I was a bit jealous of as well, and I wish I could be like them. Not because they were good in the classroom, but it was what they did outside the classroom. Their preparation. They were there very early before school started. If school started at 9, they'd be there at 7:30. And they'd be there after school as well, late working. And very often, every now and again, it would be time for report writing. Boys and girls, you get reports, don't you? And they have to be written by the teacher. And they're written about you, and they're individual, and they take time. And they've got to be true, they've got to be right. Otherwise, the parent will soon find out that they're not writing about my child, they've just copied and pasted something. And there was always one or two teachers that would have their reports done for all their classes well in advance of when they were due. You might... And of course, that meant that gave them more time to prepare. You might have known someone in where you work, or where you work right now, someone who they probably might not be popular because they're like this, because they make others look bad. They're there well before start time and they're there afterwards, and they do their work really well because of the effort and the time they put in. But are they redeeming the time? The answer is no. Only Christians can redeem the time. These people might be very productive. They might have a wonderful work ethic. They could be admired, or they could be hated because they put you in a bad light. Only a Christian can redeem the time. Redeeming the time is about eternal purposes, helping others, speaking to others about the Lord, witnessing, Christian service, prayer, private as well as coming to the prayer meeting, worship on the Lord's Day, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, and Bible study, private Bible study, public Bible study. We've got some examples. The Apostle Paul, he certainly redeemed the time when he was in prison. Now, you could argue that he didn't have to do anything. He could just sit there. I believe he was in house arrest. But while he was under house arrest, he didn't take his ease. He didn't wait around doing nothing. He wrote letters. He wrote the Ephesians letter, the letter to Philemon, the Philippians, the Colossians, and the second letter to Timothy. He redeemed the time. And of course, the best example of all of one who redeemed the time is our Saviour, the Lord Jesus Christ. We read that he was up early for prayer. And every moment, it seems, when you read through Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, every minute, every second seems to count for the Lord Jesus Christ. He had to heal thousands. This was his ministry. And he had much teaching to do. And he travelled a lot. And every now and again, in his travels, he would minister. Christ is the best example that we've got of someone who redeemed his time. So we have to buy back the time from trivial things, from self-interest. Colossians 4, verse 5 is a similar verse. Colossians 4, verse 5. It tells us to walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. We should spend time in reflection. We certainly should do that at the Lord's table, reflecting on the Saviour's death. We should spend time examining our hearts. Are we right with God? Are we truly right with God? Are we making our calling and an election sure? Are we making a stand where we need to make a stand? Certainly, redeeming the time speaks to us of trading. And why? Because the days are evil. It could be argued that every day since Adam and Eve fell have been days of evil. It wasn't, well, we don't know about that, how long it took, but we soon read in Genesis of murder, jealousy. We live in a very deeply immoral society in this country of ours, in this Europe of ours. Free speech is under attack. The gospel, marriage, the family unit. When I first started teaching, it was almost unheard of that you would have boys and girls with, on a parents' evening, mum and dad didn't turn up. More and more, it was just single parents. And through various means, marriage has become less important to people. Commitment to a man or a woman for life is just tossed aside. And the family as well. Two husbands, that's ridiculous. Two mothers, a child deserves to have a mother and a father. And Sunday schools, think what it might be like in 10, 15 years from now. Are we still going to be able to have Sunday schools? Or will they be government? Will they ban them? We must pray for those that rule over us. Well, we have many pressures on our time, many distractions, and we can, if we live a life that's godly, we will suffer persecution. So the reason to redeem the time is because we live in dangerous times, wicked times, evil times. And finally, let me turn to, you can read this as well, 2 Timothy and chapter 3. A description of the times in which Paul lived. And certainly things don't seem to change. To Timothy chapter 3. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. The Christians believed they lived in the last days, and we've been living in the last days since Christ ascended. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce-breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Ephesians 5:17. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Amen. Amen.